God will give himself to those who ask. Now, in this world that we live in, fathers get some bad advertisement, if you will. People look down on fathers nowadays. I believe there were some people in the government that wanted to put on forms, instead of mother, it's a childbearing person. All right, that's kind of weird. God invented mothers. God invented fathers. He invented family. I think he has the right names for us. Now, so happy Father's Day, folks. You are more than a paideon pater. That's Greek for baby daddy. Amen? Amen? All right. Because we want to be like our Heavenly Father, which takes us to our next point. The Heavenly Father's examples of fatherhood. Looking at Psalms 103, verses 13 through 14. See, our Father is loving. Our Father is loving. He's an example for us to be loving to our children. We shouldn't forget that verse in John 3:16. For God so did what? Loved the world that he gave his own son, Jesus, didn't he? And remember that it was love that dialed up this place called Calvary for Jesus, his own son, to die on for our sins as the propitiation or the satisfaction that God would have his justice. Jesus prays in John 17 and 23 that we would know that he and the Father are the same. The Father loves the Son, and the Son loves the Father. The Father is a loving Father. Even Jesus said that about the Heavenly Father. And a father, another example for us, is forgiving. You might remember the Lord's Prayer, where he shares with us, forgive us our sins as we forgive those debts, right, of others who have sinned against us. He's a father who is forgiving. So we saw that in Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13, as well as in the 11th chapter of Luke, as Jesus was giving his model prayer for the disciples to follow. And then in Ephesians 4 and verse 32, where we're told to be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Our Father is a forgiving Father. That's a model for us to show our children. Godly fathers demonstrate forgiveness. You might recall the parable of the prodigal son in Luke 15. It gives us a picture of what the Heavenly Father is like. For after the son returns home, having squandered much of his father's wealth, as the son comes to himself and says, I've sinned against my father. I'm going to go back and I'm just going to be a servant. I'm not even going to be a son. And he comes dirty, nasty, worn out, hungry as all get out. The father doesn't say, Mm-hmm. I see you learned your lesson now. The Bible tells us that the father ran to his son, and he fell on his neck, meaning that he hugged him. He was glad to see his son return. That's a beautiful picture of what God does for us. It's also a model for us to have for our families. I hate to see, even when a child goes astray, and sometimes we find our children in the care of the state, sometimes the federal system. Still, you got to love your child. Got to love your child. God love me. I won't worth his love. I'm imperfect. Before I got saved, and I'm imperfect after I've gotten saved. But my heavenly Father loves me. And there were times that I did things that disappointed my Father. But I never, ever felt unloved as a young man by my Father. I still remember him calling me in the kitchen, closing the door, and saying the following words: if you do that again, I'll put you in jail myself. Okay. I didn't get in trouble like that anymore. But see, our Father is also understanding. He's also understanding. God knows that we are imperfect. Parents, fathers, we got to remember our children are also imperfect. We can't go back and tell them, how come you didn't do as well as brother so-and-so's children? First of all, brother so-and-so's children is not your concern. You stay involved in your own child. Maybe your own child didn't do quite so well. But that's okay, because that's your child. God knows that we are imperfect, even as justified sinners declared righteous by God. He knows and understands that even on our best days, Christians are still imperfect. He does not love you and I because you and I are perfect, but in spite of our imperfections. God sees our imperfect projections of our reflection of him, and he understands. Listen to what the Bible says in Psalms 103, verses 13 through 14. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He knows our frame, our body. He remembers that we are dust. He remembers that we are dust. I hate to see fathers or mothers chasing after a child with the intent to basically kill them just short of them losing their lives, with hatred and anger in their eyes, hollering and screaming at them, ready to hit them with anything. Man, don't us parents, us fathers know that our children are frail? Even if it's a 16-year-old, 250-pound boy who's bigger than we are, he's still a child in his mind. He is not mature to a 30-year-old man. He's not going to think like a 30-year-old man. How many times have I heard parents say, You 15 years old, you should know better. I've been teaching children for, I don't know, 40 years or something. Can't remember anymore. I've never seen a 15-year-old. Don't care how smart they are, that is as wise as a 30-year-old man. Especially boys, we do dumb things. Get mad and hit the wall, then hurt our fist. Oh. Oh. He knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. He knows that we are dust. He sees our imperfect fear and understands even as we fear and respect him. As we continue to have our minds informed and reformed by scripture, we have to remember to allow the biblical testimony to be projected on our understanding of our Heavenly Father. We want to delight in the fact that we are justified by faith alone, but when we find out how he treats us, even though we are dust, we ought to sing praises to everybody we meet, how this Heavenly Father understands crazy folk like me. Our Father also comforts. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 11 through 12. Verse 11 says, as you know how we exhorted, this is Paul speaking, and comforted and charged every one of you as a father does his children. This tells me that fathers ought to provide comfort for their children. A father is implored to bring their children up in the ways of the Lord, to discipline them when necessary, and to encourage them, to comfort and instruct them. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4 says, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction or admonition of the Lord. Ephesians 6 and verse 4. Do not provoke your children to anger. Have you ever seen a dog who recoils when yelled at? When the owner raises his voice and that dog will start to react, sometimes shrink back, take a couple of steps away. What does Proverbs 15:1 say to us? A soft answer turns away wrath, right? Grievous words do what? They stir up anger. It's a shame when we parents, and many times us men with our nice, big, heavy voices, holler at our children in such a way that they become shrunken like that scared dog, or on the flip side, become wrathful against that father, want to strike back at them. We watch those same children grow up and react that way to their teachers, react that way to the police officer who's asking them a question. I still remember watching Tupac Shakur in a courtroom where he took his shirt off and was walking around the courtroom hollering and yelling. How is that going to help you when you're on trial? I don't know that. How do you, what happened in his life? I don't know. But I do know the Bible says that soft answers turn away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. Fathers, we don't provoke our children to wrath. We don't provoke them to anger, but we instead are to bring them up in the discipline and the instructions of the Lord. Then we see that our Father protects. Our Father protects. Proverbs 14, verse 26. In the fear of the Lord, there is strong confidence. We have confidence in that Father, that Heavenly Father, that we respect and revere. And His children will have a place of refuge. So when a child, in the fear of the Lord with their parents, they have confidence in them. It says, and His children will have a place of refuge. His children will have a place of refuge. Whew. How many children don't have a place of refuge? Some tornado of a father ringing all kinds of raging words in a home, talking to mom in a way, treating mom wrong, treating children wrong, just raging out. It's not a place of refuge. A father ought to provide a place of refuge for that child when they come home after the teacher has said all kinds of things to that child. Oh, that child might not have been perfect, but does it mean that the child has to listen to a teacher, put them down, or go someplace else, an employer putting them down? Is there any place that a child can go where a home is a refuge that's safe at home? Fathers ought to make sure that their home is a place of refuge for their children. Our Father protects. Jesus was protected by His stepfather, Joseph, who sacrificed all to protect baby Jesus and Mary from harm, even relocating to Egypt, leaving where he would have gone back home to make sure that Jesus was safe for those 2 years while they were in Egypt. God protected and rescued Adam when Adam fell. He got him their coats of skin. He had to kick Adam out of the Garden of Eden. He had to tell Adam, you got to go back to work, son. You got to work. You had it all here, but I still love you. But you got to work now. But I rescued you, and I will rescue you, because one day, when you continue to sacrifice and have faith in me, one day, I got another son, Adam. His name is Jesus. Oh, and he's going to come and he's going to pay for all your sins. Because a father protects. He protected Isaac as Abraham, following the Lord's orders, was ready to put him dead in a sacrifice on a stack of wood. But God stepped in and he rescued Isaac. Angel said, don't kill him. There's a ram in the bush. There was someone to protect Isaac from certain death. And he protects you and I in the same way, in that he put Jesus on the cross. He did not even rescue his own son off the cross because he loved us while we were yet sinners. according to Romans 5 and verse 8. And then a father provides. How do I know that? Well, there's a Hebrew name that our Heavenly Father has. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord, our provider. Hey, that's what he says. He's a provider, and our Heavenly Father, he provides. We just saw in Luke chapter 11 how he provides. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. In the Lord's model prayer for his disciples, he says in Matthew chapter 7, 9 through 13, what man of there among you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, he will give you a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more your Father who is in heaven, making him the Heavenly Father, give good things to those who ask him. And then we see that our Heavenly Father disciplines, as we should, fathers. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 11 through 12. My son, this is Solomon, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects. Just as the father, the son in whom he delights. Just as the father does the son in whom he delights. When you see a child who is never disciplined, and I'm quite sure some teachers in here can tell me stories. I remember my wife coming home and telling me that there was a little boy in her elementary class who was throwing spitballs at her. And any teacher in here will tell you, don't you touch that child, because you'll be in trouble. The parent would come and step on you. I'm going to sue you for touching my child, even though the child is throwing spitballs at my wife. But there were some boys in the class who got up and stood in front of my wife. She called the principal's office, but those boys, they took care of that. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction. For the Lord loves, he corrects. Whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as a father, the son, in whom he delights. And it's important to do that. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Takes us to our next point. The strength for fatherhood comes from the Heavenly Father. Brother Kaysen, don't you know how tough it is out there to be a father? It's rough. Gas going up, food prices going up. I remember that there was a time during the early years of President Obama where my wife needed to be at work And so gas had risen to about $4.50. Y'all complaining now. But I'm talking about the early 2008 and so forth, 2009. Gas at $4.50. I was paying $11 a day just to travel, to take my kids to Portsmouth and then drive to the peninsula and then pick them up on the way back. $11 a day. Man, back then that was rough. So what do? You pray. You ask. You seek, and you knock. You seek God for his help and his gift of the Holy Spirit to empower you through these times. And then you make it a priority to be intentional in your very own personal walk with the Lord so that you're able, fathers, to deal with the craziness of the day. Those crazy bosses, crazy people on the roads. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, fathers. And then you will have, fathers, good success. Then we have to rely on God. We have to pray, ask, seek, and knock. Seek God for his help and his gift of the Holy Spirit. We have to make it a priority and be intentional in our personal walk with God. And then we must rely on God and his wisdom. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Fathers, what we have to do? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not rely, gentlemen, men at New Berean, on our own insight or understanding. Because sometimes we don't think right. For those who are married, that's one of the benefits of having a person as your soulmate, your wife, who has two sides of her brain working to help us men that have the only one side working. Hey, talking about imperfect fathers. I don't know why God did that. How come you gave her and you gave me half? I mean, what's up with that? Hey, she's a helpmeet. God knows what he's doing. And our final point, the results of being good fathers. The results of being good fathers. Point number 4. What are some of the results of being good fathers? Having looked at the Heavenly Father and emulating him. The Bible says that we ought to be imitators of God, fathers. And when we do, when we follow those things that we have talked about, there's a legacy that we can look to. There's a legacy, fathers, that we can look to. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 7. What a legacy. The righteous man walks in his integrity. His children, as a result of this father walking in integrity, are blessed after him. Think about a father who messes everything up, torn up his family. What legacy did he leave behind? His children are blessed. They just messed up. But for the father who's walking in integrity, doing the right things, teaching his children the right things, there's a legacy because his children are blessed after him. Not only is there a legacy, but there's some joy. There's some rejoicing. There's some happiness when we've done what we're supposed to do, fathers, the best that we can, even in an imperfect state. 3 John chapter 4, 3 John verse 4. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. There are parents who are saddened because their children don't walk in truth. I was thinking about my sister Antoinette singing up there. And I remember her in teens class and so forth. And I remember her talking about her life in college and singing in the choir there. And I remember myself, after I got saved, whenever I went to college, the first thing I did was, where are the Christians? Where are the Christians? I had to go find where the Christians are. I need to know where they were so we could fellowship. Unfortunately, sometimes today, kids take vacation from God when they go to college. And sometimes they stay on vacation after they graduate. But not Antoinette. She's been serving the Lord here. There's some joy in Brother Tony's heart. To know that his children walk in truth. And then fathers are blessed. Fathers are blessed. Psalms 123, verses 3 through 5. Fathers are blessed. Behold, children are a heritage, not a burden, a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Verse 5, happy, blessed is the man who has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemies in the gate. Happy is the man who's got a bunch of kids. They are a blessing from the Lord. If you raise them right, you can say amen to that, brothers. If you raise them right, you can say amen to that. You know you got some happiness and some joy when you see your children walking. Amen. As we come to our conclusion, fathers, never doubt a father's love and specific care for you on this journey that you take. You can depend on him to help you, to meet your needs when you ask. That's what God was talking about in the 13th verse of Luke chapter 11. And even more than that, he knows your deepest needs. And he says, call on me. Call on the Holy Spirit, who will help empower you to do that which is required for fathers to raise their children. For God has sent his Son to reconcile us to himself. You got to be born again so you can do it right, so that we might be adopted into his family by the Spirit of adoption. So that we got to be born again, Nicodemus, might truly be called children of God. So fathers, don't walk by faith, by sight. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, walk by faith. If you walk by sight in this crazy world, you're going to get really hot, upset, and mad. Folk don't treat you right, talk about you like a dog. Oh, but you got to walk by faith. Because the world will tell you that you're nobody and you're not important in your child's well-being. But God didn't say that. He invented fathers, and he's one himself. So God didn't say sit by faith. He didn't say sleep by faith or daydream by faith. He wants us to exercise our faith, to walk by faith. So we look to our perfect Father for help in times of need. Happy Father's Day, gentlemen. May God bless you and keep you. If you are a father and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you make sure before you leave this day that you recognize that all of us have become imperfect. From Adam on up to the last person born. But even in our imperfection, God loves us and he wants to forgive us of our sins. All we have to do is to look to him and call on him and say, I need to be saved. Ask him into your life to be your savior. Then live for him. If you do that, you will have eternal life. The Bible says in Acts 16, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Don't leave this place not being saved. You make sure before you go that you ask Jesus Christ to save you and then walk in him. We can help you. There are other churches that can help you, but don't leave here without Jesus. Don't do it. Don't do it. You're going to need him for the journey. Let us pray. Father, we just love you. We thank you for being the perfect father to help us imperfect fathers know how to do and to live for you and to be good fathers to our children. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Before we leave, brothers, could you remember to remind me to get my amplifier out of the closet? I haven't played my electric guitar in 2 years, so.